Hello, and good evening for the majority of you, I think. I love this. I'm generally massively in love with D&D recently and finally got all the books, so this is super interesting for me to do because it makes me also think about all those things for myself. But to get to the questions. During character creation, I don't actively model after myself, but definitely put aspects of myself into the character simply because it makes it easier to role play. If the character would be completely opposite of me, it would make it a lot harder. And basically, a lot more mental work to really bring the character out. Aside from that, I just like to go for basically one or two interesting aspects and then build the character around that. It's just mostly random ideas or something that, for example, that the backdrop of the world that the campaign is going to take place in often sparks an idea or a train of thought, and then I build up from that, at least so far. And I don't have a favorite race yet. I have to add that I've only been playing for about 9-ish, 9 or 10 months now. So, I haven't gotten that many chances to really like try out different races and see what feels best, so to say. Same goes for the favorite class. There is, well, no, that's not true. From the basic player handbook, I don't have a favorite class, but in a West Marches game that I've played for a while, I got to do a homebrew class that I found on the DM's Guild website, which is a good necromancer, basically. Which is pretty cool because they're basically, you could say they're what Blade is to vampires in a sense that they use necromancy but to put the bad guys down. It's a very, very cool concept, and the whole theme around it works super well, and it also fits just so good with how the world was set up and the backstory that we discovered and everything. So that was super fun to play. My view on alignments is, I think it's important to have it for role-playing aspects. If you're just gonna do a murder hobo campaign, I don't really think it matters, but if you're even just remotely interested in role playing your character and interacting with NPCs a lot and affecting the world around you, which I think is a, at least to me, it's a big part of D&D. Your alignment informs everything you say and do, in a sense of it's basically it tweaks the little things and decisions of how to react and how to act in the world that is laid before your feet. So, yeah, and I usually play within the chaotic and neutral and good area. So like the top right corner of the alignment chart. It's basically a comfort zone. I haven't gotten to step out of that in D&D so far, which I am looking forward to get to at some point, but especially still since I'm still a quite new player, all things considered, I'm basically taking baby steps with that and just seeing how it feels and where I could expand and what I feel comfortable with. And I generally don't think good and evil players fit into a party. It takes a group of the right kind of players, I'd say, because it is. I don't want to say it's a recipe for disaster, but definitely for conflict. It's like you can't not have conflict when you have good and evil alignments in your party, simply because of, like I said, it informs the actions. So while one person might negotiate or try to buy their way out of a situation, another person will simply go for the execution. So, and which again will not sit well with a person that would have only negotiated. So, it's doable, but it definitely has to be agreed upon by the DM as well as all players before the character creation, and is always something that can bleed into real life outside of the game if the conflict isn't dealt with well, so to say. My longest running campaign is my current campaign. The West Marches was put on hold because the DM doesn't have time anymore right now because of work, and the other campaign was moved from Saturday evenings to Monday evenings and is still going, which is also the very first campaign I ever played, which is pretty cool. And I'm quite happy with that. Multiclassing in general, I think, is a pretty cool concept. I like the versatility that comes with it when looking at it. Admittedly, I haven't done that myself. It is, again, something that, at least between the player and the DM, should be discussed. And it's, I mean, I only I can I can't speak from actual personal experience. I've only seen multiclassing on Critical Role so far, and I haven't expanded my horizon much beyond that in watching other streams or games happen or anything of the sort. But it looks super intriguing to me. I also think that it's something that only really comes into effect well in the higher levels, in the mid to higher levels. So like starting level eight, nine-ish. Because, I mean, you choose a class because of what the class brings, and you might want to go with that to the end until you get to level 20, or you realize that at some point what the later stages might give you isn't that like it's not as useful to you or to where you want your character to go, or if you want to bring it down to the numbers, simply to your effectiveness in battle. And multiclassing then is definitely a good idea. Below that, it's like not really one and not really the other. It's like you can't, dance at two parties at the same time. It just doesn't work. Dungeon crawling or investigative campaign? I like both. Dungeon crawling because it brings, like, with everything, with the looting and traps and encounters and everything, it's like it's just the classic D&D thing, and it's also just a lot of fun, and it brings a certain kind of excitement. There's the suspense, like what's around the next corner, and will we get to the end, and what will we find? And the investigative is awesome because I personally greatly enjoy the role playing aspect of like learning about the world that the DM made and getting to know the world and the people and having an effect on that world of changing things and just, there's that whole sense of I was here, I did that. And whether it be good or bad, but your actions or you see a lot faster that and how much your actions affect the people around you. And I think that's pretty cool. And generally, I'm not a big fan of murder hoboing. At least I wouldn't want to do a whole campaign just with that. A one shot, maybe. But nonetheless, I think a session or two now and then, going for like a murder hobo spree, so to say, is a good idea. Because in the whole lure of affecting the world, it makes you feel powerful, which is something I think the majority of D&D players like. That's why they play the game, because they get to play an heroic character, and those are powerful. And so going around slaughtering stuff, getting to be king of the hill is that's where you get to shine, basically, where you can say like I got to use all my abilities and we got all of that stuff and we managed to survive all of that on top of it, and it just feels awesome. So even with a campaign that would be super focused on role playing and on the whole investigative thing, a little murder hobo now and then is always a good idea. How do I prefer to roll stats? Admittedly, I haven't tried many different ways. But from the options that were available to me, I liked the rolling 46 and removing the lowest score the most. The way I always did it so far, and that was okay with my DMs so far, was rolling up my stats and then assigning those as I saw fit. So, rolling 46 six times, and whatever were the results, I assigned for what kind of character I wanted to make. Sometimes I decide on the class before I roll. Sometimes I decide after I roll, but mostly before. And along those lines, I assign the stats so I get so I get my saving throws and my attack modifiers and everything. And after I've assigned those as highest stats, then it's after I have those, it's actually a role-playing concept thing more than anything else. It's not just random, but I think about what would make sense with how I see the character I plan to make and what would fit with the backstory or with personality traits, stuff like that. So, someone who, for example, one of my characters grew up raised by wild animals in the forest. So, after all the other stats that were important, the next highest I gave was Constitution, I think, because she was hardy. She had, like, always outside in nature, trained to survive with like berries and roots and all that shit, and hunting and surviving in seasons and everything. And that made sense to me, even though it didn't necessarily fit with the race. So yeah. And I've only ever played fifth edition. Like I said, I started, funny side story, I found Critical Role through the YouTube channel of Geek and Sundry because I was watching Tabletop, because I love board games too. And I got recommended Critical Role, and I started watching it October last year. And found my first gaming group online in December and have been playing since. So yeah. I haven't ever gotten a chance to play any other edition. And I do not really have tips for new players, as I consider myself to be a new player still. But if there's any tips to give, is that if it interests you like if it sounds like it's something that would be fun, and you think to yourself, I don't know any people that play, or I can't play offline because whatever, I don't have friends or bullshit. There's so many ways to get into D&D online and offline, and the communities that play are, from the majority, super nice and welcoming. You can, if you just want to like get a taste, watch some streams, watch Critical Role, or check out the Twitch channel for Dungeons and Dragons. They have an own channel. With loads of people playing a variety of games that might interest you or might not, you can check out YouTube. There is so much material. And when you know a bit more, you'll properly catch the bug and be like, okay, nothing is holding me back. Or you can just ease into it. For example, on Roll20, which is a free website, you can just sign up and join random games. There's loads of games in all kinds of time zones, where newbies are welcome and where the DMs will go easy on you. And if you've watched a couple of episodes, it'll be easy to follow, what is what and how to do things. So, yeah. Basically, just go for it. And the worst I or someone else ever fucked up over the party. Well, fucking over the party was a the side boss, the boss of a side quest that way. And it was basically a haunted mansion, and we had to stay the night in like the old guest bedrooms, and we're instructed to whatever we did to not leave the beds. And of course, two of our four players managed to fuck up and left their beds. So for the final fight, instead of having four players, we had two players because the other two got transported to another dimension. That was helpful. And the worst I ever fucked over, not necessarily the party, but another player, is in the current campaign, almost at the beginning, like a few sessions in, we found, I was the spellcaster, and we found a bag that had magical attributes. So everyone was like, oh my gosh, it's a bag of holding. Someone was like, yeah, but it could also be a bag of devouring. And I didn't roll high enough to know which it was. So our fighter gnome had found a sword, but no one needed it. So I was like, hey, why don't you check? Just put it in. And it went in without problems. It was like, okay, it could still be both. And I played my character distracted and just mumbling, yeah, just try to take it out. I need to focus here. And he tried to pull it out of the bag and failed his strength check and got sucked into the bag of devouring. And I mean, like, him as player found it hilarious. I felt a little bit bad, just a little bit. But my gracious DM gave me a chance to get him out of that because moments later, it was in the Underdark, there had been a group of driders following us and trying to get us to the capital with the queen. And we were in basically a hideout room. Someone was helping us, and they were outside the door. So I stepped out with the bag in my hand, and the drider asked me, what do you have there? And I just said, see for yourself, and threw the bag at her. And she reached in, and of course, with plus three strength, managed to pull the gnome out, who, of course, was a bit traumatized. But yeah, that could have ended pretty badly because his turn was after mine. in initiative order, and if he would have started his turn inside the bag, he would have been gone, and that would have been very bad. Yeah. I've become a lot more careful around magic bags since then. Qualities I like in fellow players or DMs. Have to say, I think I got pretty lucky with my group. They're all attentive and generally super nice and decent people. It's the whole really caring for each other and letting people finish talking and all those things. The DM is also super approachable. It's like they're all critters. So for those who don't know Critical Role, it's the fan base. They call themselves critters, and we like. It's just I follow a bunch of people on Twitter that do fan art for Critical Role, and on a retweet, I saw that someone was looking for a group. And so I messaged them, and so that way we all came together, basically. So we didn't know each other beforehand. And the DM is super approachable, and like I've talked to him a couple of times now because of some things that didn't sit right with me. And yeah, I can basically only really sum it up as being decent human beings, you know, common sense and some decency, and you usually can play pretty long and pretty well. I think it's the best if you play with friends, simply because you know them. And I've gotten friends with a couple of them, and it's the more you've spent time with each other and know each other, the better you can basically role play because you know the cues and you know how people tend to react. So you can, it's the whole improv spiel. You can set up situations where they can either shine or willingly choose to take a dive, which makes for just super memorable experiences, like the whole thing with the bag. I dislike people, or not people, well, people too, but DMs that need to pull their story through, whatever the cost, it sucks. And same goes for players. And I've realized recently that I do that a little bit, and I've been trying to rein that in, of that I always try to get the best possible solution in every situation, whether it's my turn or not. So the whole orchestrating situations and stuff. And we've had a newer player in the group. He hasn't been there at the beginning. He joined like 1 or 2, maybe 3 months ago. And he has a bit of a childlike mind in a sense of that he's a super sweet and nice guy, but he is unintentionally egomanic. Like there's a certain level of empathy missing, where when he wants to say something, he can't wait till people finish talking or till people finish their turns and things like that. And it is with a certain childlike innocence. It's just really weird to try and get along with it from a grown man. It's still like 90% of the time makes for super fun sessions because he's up to all sorts of nonsense and bullshit, and we've gotten into, as a group, into a good rhythm to work with and around that. But unfortunately, also grown people do that. Also, mentally grown people do that. And they do it intentionally because they consider their own ideas and actions as superior to what everyone else could say or do. And stuff like that is super, super. It just sucks playing with people like that. Because it either, like, it stops any creative momentum that a group could get, which is when you get a group to have that creative flow, that's just that's electrifying. It's just amazing. So far, I have not DM'd yet. It'll be another 6 days. An additional side note for those who don't know Critical Role, the Dungeon Master has published a campaign guide for the setting of Critical Role. And our group, okay, and the fan base, adding to that, have basically, in quotes, called out an official holiday, a Tel'Dorei day, which is the continent, the main continent it plays on, and that is next weekend. And so I decided, since I got that guide, that I would do a one shot, spread out over those 3 or 4 days for my gaming group. So for the last 2+ weeks, I've been more and more, and by now neck deep in preparations. Not permanently, but here and there when I have spare time. And I've been preparing, not that much, basically, for that one shot. The thing I've been preparing the most is the beginning, because I will have them go through a sort of puzzle dungeon with a variety of different puzzles. So there will be just written or spoken sort of riddles. There will be puzzle rooms where they have to manipulate objects, and then there will be also trap rooms, which I call that because there's a chance that they will take damage, and I'm trying to find a nice order and balance for that. And after that, I've already decided what kind of encounters I'm hoping to have them have. And since it's a one shot, it's gonna be pretty railroady, especially since it's an established world. But after that, in the future, I do plan on running my own campaign. Which might even hopefully be offline, because my best friend moved into my city a couple months ago, which is incidentally also why I've had a lot less time, because he had moved in with me for a while because he didn't find an apartment, but his work had already started. And yeah. So he's definitely interested in playing, and I might have one or two other acquaintances that I could get to play. So that would be pretty amazing. And for that, I will definitely prepare a lot because that will be 70 to 80% plus homebrew. Because I think part of me always wanted to write a fantasy novel, but why write something if you can experience the people experiencing your world? That is like so much better. I don't know yet how many hours of preparation I will do for that. Part of me doesn't want to think about it because I know it will be a lot, because that's just how I do creative work like that. For the one shot so far, if I would sum up, yeah, that's been like 20 plus hours so far. And over the 4 days, we're gonna have a session each day, and each session will be 3 plus hours. Yeah, you do the math. It's like friggin' 3 a.m. I'm not gonna calculate now, sorry. As you might have guessed so far, I've only played online. Hoping to play IRL soon. I think I'm going to enjoy being a DM because that's basically what I wanted to do from the very beginning on. Like, I've watched an episode of Critical Role and I wanted to DM. But since I never played D&D before, I wanted to get to know the game from a player side and get some experience on that end before jumping in the driver's seat, basically. Thoughts on Roll20? I like it, in general. It is an amazing opportunity to just get together from anywhere and everywhere and play role-playing games. I mean, it's not just D&D. You can they have character sheets for, I don't know, 10 plus role-playing games. So you can play pretty much anything on there, even if they don't have the sheets, because you can just use the resources and make of it what you will. It has cool systems. The dynamic lighting is awesome. For those who don't know it, dynamic lighting is that basically your character token, when it will be moved on the map, will have a range around it where the torchlight or whatever light you carry with you will make the area visible, basically like a fog of war thing, but it will also create shadows and work in different ways around corners and stuff like that, and that is super cool. You can write on maps, you can draw on maps. You can upload finished maps. You can put maps together with the tiles they offer, and if you subscribe, there's different subscription plans. You have more storage space and have more access to more tiles and stuff. So, but even the basic free variety already has so much. It's crazy. Especially if you consider that. I mean, if you think to yourself, okay, the player's handbook is $50, I might just get that. But if you want to get into DMing, you're going to think about getting the monster manual and the dungeon master guide, which is another $100, all in all, because each book is about $50. And that is an investment. So As most internet-savvy people nowadays will do, you go on Google and search, and you will find free versions of that, because that's what I did at the beginning. No, I'm not going to give links out. And then you can just access all the free material and play for free online, basically. I'm not saying it's a good thing, because by now I have all the books and even the German versions of because they started releasing it in German, at least some of them. Because I simply want, like, how could I not with how much I enjoy it? But especially if you just want to like get a taste and see if it's something that you want to invest money in, it's definitely good, very good for trying it out. And I mean, yeah, it's so much fun and it's free. And off the top of my head, I can't think of features it could improve or that are missing. Mainly because I only really interact with my token. I haven't created any maps. I mean, I've toyed around with it and experimented a bit to see how things work, and there's a bunch of tutorials that you can do. But yeah. So that's it. Thank you, Cuddly, for that awesome questionnaire. Did I say Cuddly? Sorry, Bear. And speaking of mind flayers, there's a lot of interesting Rule 34 stuff out there. So that's not necessarily a bad thing to meet one. And with that thought, I'll leave you. Bye-bye.